I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast, where we're talking all things local church and leadership. And today we have the pleasure of talking with Sean, who is the pastor of C3 Hobart in Tasmania, one of the states of Australia. But Sean and his wife Morella have had an amazing impact on that church in terms of its growth. It is way more than doubled. It's quadrupled and then done that again. And we'll talk about that with him soon. But first of all, hey Sean, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here. Yeah, it's a nice sunny day here in Hobart, Tasmania. For those who don't know, it's the southernmost state of Australia. We're right down the bottom. So we'd like to claim Pastor Phil to be the most southern C3 church on the globe, but I think our Dunedin in New Zealand beat us.
Probably right. Yeah, so when I thank God for Sean White every day, you know, I say, Lord, you know, this man has helped a situation there in such a great way and brought redemption and recovery in a beautiful way. To a number of people. And so thank you for that. And watching you and Morella handle yourselves through all of this has been just miraculous. I think you've brought an incredible new health and life and vibrancy, not only there, but in a number of other situations. And one of the reasons I think that you've been so effective, and I know that in Australia now, you are the guy, the go-to person for any crises. Maybe your background in the medical world. Just talk about that for a second.
Yeah, look, and thank you, Pastor Phil. I spent 21 years as a critical care paramedic on the streets of Sydney and did a little bit of work in Canberra, and then I spent some time over in the Middle East. My whole understanding is helping people in their time of need, and a person's time of need as it relates to a medical or a traumatic situation can be everything from a stubbed toe to a you know, the loss of a loved one. And so it's helping people in that time of crisis. Health, Matt, really means a lot to me. So I want to see, I'm a big believer in healthy pastors, healthy churches. I know it's a cliche, but healthy pastors, healthy churches. Because if your pastors aren't healthy, then it's really difficult to create an environment where your church is going to be healthy.
Yeah, exactly. So, Sean, the reason I wanted to have this podcast was this is like 4 days after Easter.
Sure.
And it is amazing how much of a surge there is on people receiving Christ right now, not just at Easter, but I know in our own home church in Sydney, like around 150 people came to Christ over this last Easter weekend. And I know in many of our churches around the world, like literally thousands of people have put their hands up and said, yeah, I want to receive Jesus into my life. And everybody's very happy about that, obviously. Everybody's excited and there's angels rejoicing in heaven. And I love all that. But I know from pastoring a church that that can be a really wonderful moment that gets lost because we, as a church, every one of us have to make sure that decisions become disciples.
Yep.
And just to give a bit of background quickly, I talked to Sean a number of years ago, And I said, how many salvations have you had this year? And he said, oh, about 70. And I thought, that's a pretty low number for a church your size. And he said, yeah, but you need to ask me another question. How many of them are still in the church? And so I did. And he said, well, 95% of those people that made a decision are now following Christ as disciples. And I thought, well, that is amazing. So that's why I thought you're the obvious one to talk to about this. And so can you just relay some of the things that you have done to actually cause that to happen?
Yeah, sure. Look, I think one of the things, and coming into pastoring, we've been pastoring for about 7 years now. We had the privilege to step in 2017. And one of the things that really was on our heart was having a value or a culture that we want to walk the journey with people no matter where they're at. Now, we all celebrate. I mean, what is it? Luke 15:10 says the angels celebrate when, you know, even one turns from sin. You know, we love that. That's an event. It's an amazing event. But I thought about it like this, Pastor Phil. I had the privilege. I know I'm too young to be this, but I had the privilege to be a grandpa just earlier.
Congratulations.
And it was an amazing thing seeing my granddaughter being born. I mean, that day is you cherish that day. I mean, there's celebrations and there's flowers in the room and there's, you know, everything's great and we celebrate and we cherish that. But imagine if we left it at that. Imagine if we left it at that one day where the baby was born, but then the next week we're like, we didn't do anything with that baby. Then that baby would end up being undeveloped. Imagine if we said, well, the day they were born was incredible, that the moment you give your life to Jesus is incredible on the altar. But imagine if we didn't do anything with it. I mean, the reality is that person would be underdeveloped. They would have no encouragement. They'd have no correction. They'd have no support. So put that in context for a baby Christian. So a bloke has walked in off the street. He's been moved and he's given his life to Jesus on an altar. The reality is if we leave it there and we just count that number and say, hey, that's awesome, he was one of 1,000 people who gave their lives to Jesus, we'll see you next week, but we didn't do anything about it, then you've got an undeveloped baby. And we have to be able to just continue to walk that journey with them no matter where they're at.
Yeah, I think we all need to be reminded of this fact all the time. And now let me just repeat something you said earlier, which I think has been a real key for you. You said, we are prepared to walk the journey with these people. What's that mean?
We have a beautiful church here, incredible founding pastors. The Giacometti's did an amazing job. What we found was that we had a culture in our church where it was a little bit safe in that it was a very middle-class type thing. Is that people were coming in, were really kind of had lived a Christian life and were just now trying church. And we kind of felt, well, we've got to meet people. We've got to meet the ex-addict. We've got to meet the single mum. We've got to meet the divorcee. We've got to meet the guy who's messed up in life. We've got to meet them where they're at, not with judgment and condemnation, but an ability to say, we're going to walk with you knowing that this road is going to be tough. And I think, you know, we know Jesus was the ultimate disciple maker, and he walked along with a bunch of misfits, a bunch of 12 guys who were misfits. And so, but you've got to be intentional with that. You've got to be purposeful in doing that, because to be honest with you, Pastor Phil, it's the harder way to do it. It's so much easier just to turn up on a Sunday and put on a great service, and we've got a cracking worship team, and, you know, there's 700 in the service and everything is great, and we high-five each other on the way out. But what are we doing with them on Monday morning when they go home and they're still a divorcee, they're still 2 months sober, they're still got bills that they can't pay? We've got to be able to walk that journey with them and meet them there, because all the ground that God takes on a Sunday, the enemy wants to take back on a Monday.
Right. So what are some of the practical things that you actually do as a church to create disciples?
Yeah. So the first thing is teaching our team to be intentional with this. So it can't just come from Morella and I. It's got to be a team approach. So our very first meeting of the week, post Sunday weekend, is what we call our people meeting. So in that people meeting, the team will have come with who made life-transforming decisions for Jesus. You know, so after Easter weekend, you know, you've got a a full list of people who have made a decision for Jesus. And of course, we celebrate them, but then we're going, okay, who are we going to buddy with them? Who's looking after them? Who's going to be walking alongside them now in day one, day two, day three, not just at their event? Who's going to be walking with them? Who was up on the prayer altar, you know, not just praying for my dog to get well, but, you know, who has got a genuine need, and not just saying, hey, that was great to spend 5 minutes with you on an altar, but actually going, who is going to be alongside them? So that meeting is first in the calendar of the week at before we do anything else, before we review a service, before we look at next week's service, so that it is intentional in people's hearts that people are before programs.
Right. Is that on Monday morning?
It's Monday morning, 10 o'clock Monday morning. It's our first meeting. Everyone comes in, that the right people are in the room, and it's really around people are before programs.
Right. And then, love that.
And then, yeah, because then you can understand. I mean, it's like then it's in the hearts then of 15 people walk out of the room and they know that that person who gave their life to Jesus on the altar on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock is going to have a phone call, but not just a phone call, that somebody's going to be engaging with them and they're going to walk the journey with them no matter where they're at.
Right. Now, I know with some systems like the one you're describing, where people get a phone call like on the Tuesday after the decision and then maybe on the Friday, and it's kind of from strangers that they've not met, and they're just saying, hey, how are you going today? So I think we found that it's very important to keep a consistency of person throughout that journey. So it's not just people being handed over from one person to the next. It's a whole new strange world for them. And if there's just one person that they can trust, there's a bridge there of trust, then I found that really is important for that to be effective. That phone call, not from a stranger, but from the person who brought you or who knows you or who met you on the altar call.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes we find, Pastor Phil, is especially we're beautifully located. I mean, you've been to our building many times. Yeah. We're located on an area where the general public can walk past us. So where
right.
we do a lot of people walk in the doors. We may have 30 or 50 people simply walk in the doors every single Sunday morning.
And amazing.
Yeah, and it's incredible. And often their first person, I say this each week, I believe that a person's life could be changed certainly through the word we preach, certainly through the worship that we sing, right? Because it's emotive and people do that. But more often than not, it's through the welcome they get at the front door. And so we often engage. A host person is not just someone who can shake a hand and smile. Often they're the person that has embraced this man or woman walking in off the street, and they're the best person to make engagement with them. They don't have to have a theological degree. And we find that works so, so well.
Yeah. And so it's not a department of the church.
No.
It's actually just congregation members that you've managed to enroll in a volunteer position. And the beautiful thing about that is that the wider spread, the burden of what we're talking about, of following up people, of establishing them in church, the wider that can be spread, the better.
Because what can end up happening, and we can all fall into this, is if you've got, you know, if you've got a team of 20 people who are doing that, and then they get this list, it can end up just being tick a box. You know, we can end up, well, yeah, I've called my 15 people today and that was hard work. When actually every person matters. So now, of course, you understand that the person on the welcome door, you know, you want to understand their theology and where they sit. And, you know, hopefully you're already engaged with that. But sometimes the person walking in off the street just wants to, me as the preacher at the front, Pastor Phil, is sometimes you're seen out of reach of people anyway. They don't need a phone call. That they engage far better with the guy who met them at the door and had a 10-minute conversation with them than some guy who's preaching down to 700 people. And so, you know, then when they get the phone call, hey, mate, saw you yesterday. I'll be on the door again this week, you know. And we just find the tension is so much better that way.
Right. So one of the things I've always found as a pastor that will help people actually move into discipleship is to give them a job. Mm-hmm. And so if your friend at the door said, hey, saw you last week, you know, I'll be on the door again this week. Do you want to help me? You know, you can come along and help and we can do it together. And so suddenly he's got another reason for actually being there. Or another way is say, hey, I saw you, you know, we met at the door. You got any friends you want to bring along? I can pick you up and help you. You want to bring your family along, et cetera, et cetera. And to help people reach out to other people, because the best people to reach new people are new people.
Totally. Well, we use an analogy. I try and I'm a very practical person, and we try and use an analogy. When you go to somebody's house for the very, very first time, you're nervous and you might take a box of chocolates. You know, that but you don't know whether do I take my shoes off? Where do I put my coat? I don't know where the bathroom is. I don't know these things. That's a first time. Yet you're right. When you go a second time and a third time and you're made to feel comfortable, you don't take a box of chocolates. You might take a casserole and you're right. Happy to pick up a tea towel and do the dishes afterwards because you feel like it's home, right? And so we just try and engage people saying you don't have to have been here 10 times. Maybe it's your second time. You are quite okay to stand on the door and smile and welcome somebody in and, you know, pick up some rubbish off the floor. That's okay too.
Exactly. Exactly. Make it their home as much as it is anybody else's. Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, we put the sign up, welcome home, but some people don't feel that because they haven't got anything they're responsible for around the home. And when you do get a job of, you know, doing a chore around the house, cleaning the dishes or wiping windows or sweeping the floor, you actually feel like, yeah, this is my home. I'm here.
We use terminology, and I'm sure every church does the same, Pastor Phil, but we'll use a terminology of whether it's your first day or your thousandth day here, you matter to us. You totally matter to us, and we want to engage with you. And sure, there's certain things you do for the guests that are there, but we just try and make people feel like, we you're exactly right. We can't say welcome home if they don't feel like it's home. Yeah, we're being disrespectful to them.
Yeah, that's amazing. You said you had some numbers there. Can you share those?
Yes. So for instance, at the moment, here's an exciting one for you. We have done a church location over in Sierra Leone. We're in about our ninth week now, and we had 108 people give their lives to Jesus. We did an Easter outreach, and then I had 108 people. I did a live evangelical message to them, including Pastor Phil. 47 Muslims gave their lives to Jesus.
Amazing.
We've got them now already in connect groups. I'll talk about connection in a minute. We've got them already in connect groups lined up, and we've got more than 20 of them are going to get water baptized next Sunday morning, Friday, which is their week.
Incredible. Yeah.
So that's super exciting. Furthest most parts of Africa, the Holy Spirit is moving there. It's amazing. So
congratulations. That sounds like an amazing church plant.
Locally here, I just looked at the numbers then, and we've had 87 people have made life transforming decisions for Jesus up until this point since the start of the year, and we are following up 81 of them and working with 81 of them that are still active in the church. And we know that two of them have gone up to our sister church up in Brisbane and are up there, which is awesome as well. We'll celebrate them, anybody going there. But I think one of the things that we really engage with is what we call 3 points of connection. It's because if a person walks in the door and they accept Jesus, you know, as their Lord and Savior, and as I said, we celebrate that event, if they only have one point of connection, if Sunday is their only point of connection, at one point, they're probably going to get annoyed by the message I preach, or they're going to, you know, the music was too loud today, or the communion was, you know, all of the classic things. That at some point, the industry outside, industrial industry, have had 3 points of connection for a long, long time. Why? Because if you're getting down off a ladder or something or other, and you only have one point of connection, if that point of connection fails, you fall. So we have three points of connection. So it may be that you're there on a Sunday, but then it also is that you're being mentored by your buddy. You know, so there's a second point of connection. And then the third point of connection is you're now in a ministry team on the welcome team. So then you've got a third point of connection, because when they get annoyed with something I preach on a Sunday, their ministry team leader can say to them, look, that's not what he meant. Don't take offense at that.
Right.
And all
right.
of a sudden, suddenly, they're not just going to fall and we don't see them for 6 weeks and see you later. They've actually got this connection through their ministry leader on a coffee on a Tuesday saying, don't be silly. That's not what he said. Did you actually understand that this is what he was doing? So that's one of the ones that we've done with these
eight-year-old
people, is that we make sure that they've got 3 points of connection.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you, in your meeting, when you're, you know, like looking at this, would you be asking that question, who are the 3 points of connection this person has?
So we have one of our coordinators runs the meeting, so that then I will just chime in and people will go around. And so our youth pastor, our youth leader is in the room, and because, you know, we want them to engage with his demographic, and they'll go around and I'll say to them, okay, I'll just interject and say, okay, who's they're turning up on a Sunday, that's great, but who's connecting with them on a Tuesday? Who's connecting with them in this point here? Just to make sure that we're covering off so that everybody's got multiple points of connection.
Love that. That's amazing. Well, it's great to talk with you, Sean, and I know that we could talk at length on this matter, but I do think that there's a supernatural gifting for establishing people in the church as well. And I think it's not just systems. It's not just the rod in Moses' hand. It's the man who was holding the rod that needed to be respected and understood. And I've met people, I would say it's one of the rarest gifts in church life, that you've got a church member who can just touch a person's life and they get established and they feel like, yeah, I want to stay here. And it's a certain kind of spiritual impartation, I believe, that we can give to others. So I'm going to ask you if you'd pray for pastors and leaders, for that gift to be in their lives, so that they're not just magnetic, but that when people do come into the house of God, they actually decide, yeah, I'm going to stay. I'm going to become a disciple of Jesus. Can you do that for us?
It'll be a privilege. And thank you very much. Heavenly Father, we are just so blessed that we get to do this work, that we get to be part of your great commission, which is not just to go and to preach, but is to go and to preach and to walk alongside others, Lord God. What a gift that is. Heavenly Father, let people never be a burden to us, but let them be a blessing that we get the privilege to walk alongside. That a Tuesday morning coffee with people is not seen as an inconvenience, but is an opportunity where we get to be with people. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are bringing across our nation, across our globe, people are returning to the doors of churches, Lord God, to the doors of our C3 churches and many churches, Heavenly Father. Let us embrace them, not as a number on a seat, but as a child of yours that is to be loved and cared for. Let us have a heart to walk the journey with people. Lord, I pray for pastors right now, because it is hard work to be able to do this. I just pray, rise up teams within churches, Lord God, that have a heart for people, that we're good at programs, but that we love people. So, Lord God, I just thank you for the gift that people are to us. They are not a burden. They are a blessing. And that we get the privilege to walk alongside with them, that we get to see them become disciple makers eventually down the track as well. And so thank you for this privilege, Lord God. In your mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Jesus. And God bless you. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.